Love him because he first loved us. Our complete guide is what we're looking at this morning. Our complete guide. You know, everything about God is complete. Everything. There's nothing that's left undone. Not a thing. I couldn't preach a message and not talk about really the completeness that God has or Jesus had, the completeness of Christ in our lives. There's nothing because he is all complete. There's nothing that he left out. And I know for some of you, you might say, well, he left out this and he left out this element. And well, I don't know about that in my life. I don't see him fulfilling and hasn't met my needs. Honestly, the problem with the heart is because we don't know Jesus. We don't know him. He has. You're being deceived. And there were many people in the Bible that did not think that God or Jesus had completed them. I think of the prodigal son that did his own thing. And honestly, he was just missing some elemental truths. The fact of the matter is his dad, everything there for him. And he did love him, but he was not looking at that truth. And that truth would change him. And I'll tell you, it was that truth that brought him back. When he recognized there with the pigs and the husks, you know, that he was feeding those things. And all of a sudden that it dawned on him and it came back to mind, you know, and all of a sudden it hit him. Wait a second, I have everything that I need back at home. You see, it wasn't that it wasn't the case all along. He had it the whole time. It's that he didn't want to think about it. And he realized it, he recognized it. It's a simple fact of not believing the truth that is out there. And many people throughout life have tried to do their own things, thinking that their own way would make them happy or that they would, you know, that the world has everything to offer them. And I'll tell you, every time that they've tried it, you look in the scriptures. This is not some, you know, baloney that the Pastor Madrid is making up this morning. This is the truth of God. You look in the scriptures, and every time man did that which was right in his own eyes, every time that a man got proud and thought that there was something better out there other than God, every time that a person tried to do their own thing, every single time they fell on their face and they recognized, wait a second, that my way is not the right way. Every single time. We're not talking about just some belief that we have. We're talking about truth. Truth. When we go on our own, we are going to find ourselves in trouble. Folks, I want to tell you something. God has not meant for us to be alone. And that's why he's completed us so perfectly and clearly. He's given us everything because he knew we needed it. And when we try it on our own, we are denying every one of these things. We're denying Jesus that's standing right here and saying, I'm the way. We're denying it. We're denying the good written word of God, the Bible, the Logos, that came to complete man in its own way. We're denying the truth of God's word that says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, and it goes on, everything in life. We're denying that. We're denying what God has given to us in the church and how he's given to us so much in this place to worship and honor and glorify the Lord. We're giving that up, and we went through that last week. And I want to submit to you today that when we deny it, we're giving up the completeness of what God has given to us and Jesus Christ has handed to us in the gift of the Holy Spirit. This morning, our complete guide. When you, again, I've given the example of the packed bags. You go on vacation, your bags are completely packed, and I use that with the second one, the Word of God. The Word of God is completely packed our bags for everything that we need. When you go on a trip, you want to make sure and have everything that you need. You want to make sure that you have, I mean, some of you maybe are different than us. I mean, I could be this way on my own, but being married to my wife, I could never get away with it. We could never go on a trip unprepared. Let's drive. Let me tell you, this is the example, this is the illustration that would be different from the family that I have now and the family that I used to have. No joke, some of you, you'd be like, what, you did this? Growing up, my family did not have a lot of money to go and take big vacations. A lot of our vacations were simply going up in the mountains and camping, going fishing. Now, whether that floats your boat or not, that's what we did, and I loved that. Honestly, I could be just as happy doing that every year. I never need to go to some city or never go to see some big event or do this. I know some of you say, no, that's not me. I couldn't do that. That's what we did, and that's what I grew up doing. We enjoyed it every once in a great while, and it was great because, again, we didn't have the money and just not what we did. But we would go somewhere to see something. It could have been a relative. But anyway, One of our trips that Mom and Dad, again, it was special, and I only think of a couple of them that we ever did anything like this, but I remembered that we packed our bags and we took off, but we really didn't have an exact destination where we were going. You say, what? Again, that would never happen in our home, never. We're going to know where we're going. We're not going to know what we're doing, what time we're going to do it, and what we're going to wear while we're doing it, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I took a little far, but not too far. I'm picking on my wife right now. I love her dearly, and I'm grateful because probably we would do things a little shooting from the hip if it wasn't for her. But anyways, my family in Wyoming, we did something like this. We took off. We started heading. Do you guys know the geography of our country? Okay, we're in Wyoming. Do you the state of Wyoming where I grew up? It's a little bit shaped like this. This is a little bit longer. Okay, it's a little bit longer, but it's a rectangle. Okay, can you picture that? Okay, from your perspective, where you're looking. I grew up right here, okay? All right, so you got west and east, okay? And so we're on the western side of things, and we rarely went east, but we went west. And so this trip, we went up from where we were, wrong side, I don't want you reading my notes, okay? Not that you could read that, but we went this way. We started driving this way, okay? No, excuse me, this way. I'm turned around here. We start going this way. Anybody know what's over here? You didn't come to church for a geography lesson, I know. We went into Idaho, and that was neat. We kind of made our way through Idaho. And I don't remember, maybe in the beginning, Mom and Dad said we're going to go up to Montana. It almost seems like maybe that was a thought, you know, or whatever. But I remember midway through, I honestly think that it was in Idaho somewhere. I don't know whose idea it was. We changed. Instead of going into Montana, I actually think we clipped Montana, but we ended up going. Mom and Dad just decided, let's go up to Oregon and go up to Seattle and Washington. And we went up there and we ended up doing some things. I went deep sea fishing with my dad and we did that. Then we ended up coming down, you know, Washington and went into Oregon and we went into California. Like, where did that come from? You know, we were going to, if there was any plans, we were going to Montana. We ended up in, we made our way all the way down to Los Angeles. Yeah, what were we doing? I don't know. We had a good time, though. But we did all kinds. It changed. You know, we did all this. You know, there was no plan. I mean, kind of, but kind of not. You just went where, you know, and you did what you saw the next day. Guaranteed we didn't have anything obviously scheduled because we didn't even think we were going to be there. On the other side of things, you go to a place, you have things planned, you know what you're doing, you know where you're going. There's a plan there. For some, maybe the carefree going to wherever you want to can be comforting, but I will tell you, for a lot of people, it's comforting when you know where you're going and what you're doing. One of the best vacations we ever did was this spring that we took when we went up to New York, and that was because it was well planned out, and we knew what to do, and we had things designated, and it took a lot of the struggle out of it because we had already thought through it, and we had done that. We knew how much money about we needed, and you know what? It turned out just right, just like that. It was probably one of the best vacations we ever had. It was very well planned out. Can I tell you something? I know I spent a lot of time telling you this, but God has a plan. You know that God's not shooting from the hip with your life? You know that God has completely, more than packed your bags, He's got everything planned out in a perfect way, and He's given you, listen to this, He has given to each and every one of us somebody to come along with us, not to be there, and boy, I wish he was gone, to be there to just help every step of the way in everything that we're going to. This morning, we're talking about the complete guide that God has given to us. He's a travel guide, if I can put it that way, through life. Now, I want to tell you something. You say, first of all, we had Jesus that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Folks, I want to tell you something. That's enough. But I don't think it was because he needed anything, but he said, you know, I know your needs. I'm going to give you my word. You're going to be able to look at my word, and you're going to be able to go through that. I'm going to give you, and kind of in a different way, we looked at the church last week, but I'm going to tell you something with the church and with His Word, which the Holy Spirit both accompanies. I want to tell you, He has given not only the Word to lead us and guide us, but as I have told you in the past, He said, I'll even take you by the hand and take you there. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to, in conjunction with His Word, take us everywhere we need to go. Now, a few moments ago, I dropped all my papers, so I wonder if they're in the right way. It'll be, I think they are actually. All right. John 14:16. If you turn there really quickly, I can't remember if I told you to go there. Let's go to John 14. Now we already looked at John 14:6. This is the same passage that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life to Thomas. A little bit later, if that wasn't enough, He says, and I'm going to give you something else. I'm going to give you someone else. When what He's done is He's completely furnished. He's saying, disciples, I'm going to leave you, but you are completely taken care of. Thomas, you have nothing to be afraid of. Everything is taken care of. And so, down in verse 16, the word and in conjunction with what I've already given you, and I've given you something more. He said, and I will pray the Father. That's tremendous. And I will pray, Jesus pleading to the Father. And that happens, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. In another way, talk about the Holy Spirit and His role. But Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. So on behalf of Jesus is going to ask the Father, can you give them a comforter? He said, I'll give you another comforter, and He shall abide with you, how long? Forever. I love that word forever, or those two words forever in the English. Because it means how long? How many gaps? None. I want to tell you something, folks. As a Christian here this morning, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, He has given you forever. It doesn't mean you can do anything to get rid of Him. Now, that might sound like a bad thing, but it's a good thing. You can't get rid of the Comforter. He is with you. And folks, I want to tell you, that's the security we have. You know, you have somebody that's gone off the road and they're off the path. You know what? We can be concerned, we can care, and we can pray and everything like that, but you can be assured of one thing. If they're saved, they've got the Comforter inside of them, and that's a blessing. That is really a blessing. And I just want to give you that as encouragement as you pray for your loved ones and your neighbors, you know, people, anybody, if they have Jesus Christ, at the time of salvation, they received a lot of things. And at salvation, they also received the Holy Spirit. They got Him once and for all. The Holy Spirit, you know, this was no process of whatever. As soon as salvation came, they got the Holy Spirit right inside of them. They got a personal guide through life that is going to be there for a lot of things that we're going to go through in the next 25 minutes. All right, so the Comforter. Let's look at this word Comforter just to introduce this, the Comforter. Now, this is with a saved person. Does anybody remember the first thing? If we were to look at even, we're going to look at the saved person most of the time, but even for the unsaved, did God give the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for the unsaved? He did. In fact, we could go to, why don't we keep your finger here and just go a little bit later in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, so stay in John 14, but go to John chapter 16. And here we're going to read in verses 7 to 11. Here is the time, and I want to kind of go through progression in the Christian's life, but I will even say, and that's mostly for us, but even before we're believers, the Holy Spirit had a role in your life. It changed. He wasn't with you, but He was there, and His influence was there. And here we read in John chapter 16, let's look at start in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or very needful and important for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Stop right there. Did you catch what Jesus is saying? If I don't go away, you're not going to get the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something, folks. I've said it many times throughout this little series that we think that the best thing that we could have, it would be Jesus Christ here. Jesus Christ Himself, that He's going to give His Word and He's going to give the Holy Spirit, and that's going to be a better situation for you. He says, in short, He said, if I don't go, then I can't give you the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit, because it wouldn't be just Jesus standing by side. It would be Jesus inside, or God inside, the Holy Spirit inside of you. And that's the tremendous thing, is as a Christian, we have him. But notice, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So he is going to go, and you're going to get him. So good news. "And when he has come, he will reprove," and this is the world. Again, this is before he is in them. "He will," using the word of God, "will reprove," or convict. We use the word convict. Most times when we think of the Holy Spirit, we say he's going to convict the world of sin. Well, this word is reprove, and it's a little bit different than convict, but it's a reproof. He is going to show them truth opposed to the error. Isn't that good for today? We know that the Holy Spirit is here. Just as much, what do we know about the earth right now and the rulers, the leadership of the world? Who leads the earth? And this is kind of a trick question. In fact, I made a statement to this, and one of my kids said something this week, one of my little ones said something to this, but they didn't understand it. But just think for just a moment. It is a kind of a trick question, but think truth. Who is the ruler of this earth? Satan. He's the prince and power of the air, isn't he? And just because we don't necessarily see it with our eyes, we know that he's here and he's very powerful and he can do it. But folks, I want to tell you something. That where there's Christians, there's the Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit is, there's power. And so just as much as the prince and power of the air has a lot of domain and has a lot of leading, where there's Christians, there's the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has more power than the devil. And we need to claim that truth. We need to claim that truth. And we know that the Holy Spirit, listen to this, he is going to do his job, and he's going to convince or convict or reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That means what he's going to do is he is going to do his job to show the truth. Any individual can say no to the truth. They can deny it all they want to. They can pretend it's not there. They can choose not to believe it. They can choose not to obey it. They can choose not to follow it. But that doesn't negate the Holy Spirit. He is there and he is doing his work. And anytime there's a saved person, he is doing his work. The problem is we say no to the Holy Spirit. 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 And that's a dangerous place to be. That's a dangerous place to be because we become dull to the Holy Spirit. We become keen on our own way. We become dull to the Holy Spirit. We become keen on our own way. We do our own way. And God has to intervene. We need to be careful with that. But praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is power. And there's going to do his work. And you can know that the Holy Spirit is doing his work in the hearts and lives of people. He's doing his work in the world today. As evil as this wicked world is, and as powerful as Satan is, the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit's present, and of course in conjunction with the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, there is victory. And that we can claim that victory. So first of all, we see that God sent the Holy Spirit into the world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And that's not just believers, that's the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And of course, there's an explanation here of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I want to tell you something. What this is saying in a nutshell is the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to bear truth. When there is no truth, or it seems like there's no truth, we have the Holy Spirit and there is truth. There is truth. Folks, we can say today we live in a day of no truth, but that would be deny the Holy Spirit. We do have truth today. It's just that there's many of us that are saying no to it. And the world by and large is saying no to that truth. But there is truth today. We need to follow what the Holy Spirit says. And by the way, what does the Holy Spirit use to show us truth? And we've already gone over that. All this works together. All this works together in the complete package that God has given to us. The completeness of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ then asking and pleading the Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit that he gives to us. Let's jump into what the Comforter does again, okay? So that was just a little bit of what God does. And you could know, you know, even your unsaved relatives, you could know that the Holy Spirit is going to do his work in conjunction with the Word of God. You know what that tells us? We need to get the Word of God in people, and when the Word of God is there, the Holy Spirit's going to work. Get the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's going to do his work, and people will have to make their decision. Word of God is very important. We need to have that in our lives, out in the world. We need to give the truth. Let's go back to the Comforter. What is the word Comforter? You know, he says, I'm going to give you a Comforter. The Greek word is parakletos, okay? Parakletos. What does that mean? That's someone that comes along one side to be a helper. Okay? Someone that comes alongside to be a helper. And so, a helper. a personal helper, one that's going to come there and it's going to be there to help you with everything that you don't go for. I know that there have been times in my life when I have had the choice of going somewhere by myself. Maybe there was a little advantage there, or somebody else that knew what they were doing could come along with me. I tend to pick the one that has the helper. Why would I want to try this by myself? I want somebody to show me where to go and what to do, because I feel more safe with them. Anytime I've told you, you know, hunting stories and stuff like that and getting lost, I always felt safe when I had my dad by my side. It wasn't because my dad was, you know, 6'8" and, you know, 350 pounds that could kill a bear. My dad's quite the opposite of that, okay? Short, small, and couldn't kill a bear unless he had a big gun. But there was something that my dad helped me to feel safe. I was safe with my dad. I was safe on the icy roads. I was safe in the mountains. And with my dad was with me, I felt safe. But my dad wasn't always there. But the Holy Spirit, folks, is with us, the Comforter. It's somebody that at salvation time, God gave you a gift that was so special, and he didn't wait for your good works. He didn't wait for anything. When you got saved, bang, you had the Holy Spirit right there by your side, right there. And that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's a Comforter. And that's what it's saying. I'm going to give you a Comforter. I shall give you another Comforter, and he shall abide with you forever. He will not leave your side. You always have the Comforter there. But this is one that's just, it goes beyond leaving your side. Here we have a helper that helps to plead another's cause before a judge. It's not just a friend to be there, and when you don't know where to go, you say, where do we go? No, this is a friend that goes before the judge and says, listen, they did wrong again, but I'm pleading the cause of this individual. Folks, I want to tell you as a Christian, I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit, because he is living to intercede and plead my cause before the Father. Can you imagine an individual coming with you and saying they messed up again? Father, but would you please forgive them? Kind of like what Jesus did on the cross. I'm coming to you, Father, because you know what? They know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. They're making a mess of things, I know right now. But Father, would you please? And I'll tell you what, he did that. Even he wasn't inside of you at salvation time. And I want to tell you what, he pled your cause. Oh, we're very grateful for what he does for us. And when you got saved, he was made available to you. I want to tell you something. I praise the Lord for the work of the Holy Spirit. But let's get really specific in what this Comforter came to do. We don't have a long time to go through things, but I think they're very simple. But take notes or do whatever. Mark it down. Because the Holy Spirit, what are some things that the Holy Spirit does for us? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to jump around for the next 15 minutes or maybe 20. I'll try to be very careful. We're not going to get deep in these things, but I want you to see for a few moments what he does. And if we have to continue this another time, we'll do it. Sometimes I make mistakes of going too fast. So maybe I just better slow down right now and let's do it right. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 13. Here's a passage speaking to us about the Holy Spirit. Here, you know, in Ephesians is all the things that God has done for us. He's given us so much, okay? He's done so much for us, all the blessings of God. Ephesians, we see who we are in him. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 13. Verse 12, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, so you got saved, in whom also after that ye believed. So you believed, and immediately, bang, what happened? Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. First of all, I want you to see that he is a sealer. He is a sealer. What is a seal? Now, when you go back and look, and I'm not talking about the animals, a seal in the ocean. I'm talking about a seal. Back in Bible times and later times, and maybe and probably earlier, they had what they call a seal or a signet. And what that was, it was a symbol. And in some cases, it maybe was on a ring or on somewhere else. But that seal was what they did to put the ownership on a possession. It could be a document that was being authenticated. It was showing the truth. It was showing the proof to somebody else. Several things. It was showing ownership. This is mine. That's not counterfeit. It's nobody else's. It was showing legitimacy. in the fact that this is not a fake. This is the real deal. It was showing possession. Again, ownership. This is mine. It was showing authentication. This is real. It's showing the reality of the truth. But it would also show confirmation and security and protection. That's what a seal would do. So somebody would put, you know, if a certain king had a seal, he would put it on there. Again, first of all, there'd be identification, right? Oh, we know where this document is coming from. We know where this law is coming from. We know where this person is coming from. It's their seal. It's like putting his name on it. There was identification. We know where this is coming from. Folks, I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit, when He comes and lives inside of us, and He lives, and He does His Holy Spirit work using the Word of God, you know what it does to us? It's like the seal. Say, listen, you are one of mine. I love that. I love the fact. You know what? I love when I am convicted of sin. I love when I see the fingerprints of the Holy Spirit on me, because to me it's like a seal that says, you know what? You're mine. I've got you. You're mine. You see, the world has the presence of the Holy Spirit is out there convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But the Holy Spirit is not their paracletos that is right there by their side showing them the truth. We have this partner that is alongside of us that bears witness of the truth. Wait, I am God's. That ought to be a blessing to you. It would be very alarming to me. And of course, if I was alarmed about it, I probably would be saved. But I would be alarmed if I went and I didn't show any remorse at all for sin. And there was no bearing witness in me of when I do wrong that the Holy Spirit was making me feel miserable and showing me that you need to get right. I would, again, if I wasn't saved, I wouldn't struggle with it. But of course, I'm coming from a perspective of a person that's saved. Maybe I could put it this way. We ought to be, I'm not saying that we ought to judge people or question their salvation, but I'll tell you what, it ought to alarm us and concern us when somebody is living and they're a person that does not get convicted of sin. Now, the point of this morning is not to get anybody questioning their salvation. This is a product, a byproduct of our salvation, okay? Because honestly, a person cannot be saved and confuse the convicting work of the Holy Spirit as like the convicting work of a believer. Because the Holy Spirit is in the world convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But I'll tell you what, there's different things with that. When we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, He's knocking at my door saying, Sean, you know that you ought to do right. You see, the world uses a guilty conscience. Have you heard about that? I feel guilty, you know, a guilty conscience. You know, my conscience is going against me. And of course, the world can say that, you know, and they use the conscience in there. You know, when a person is saved, they've got the Holy Spirit. But you could get confused when you don't know a person's saved or not. Is that the Holy Spirit? Is that just whatever? But I want to tell you something. When I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I've got the Holy Spirit inside of me, and there's a knocking at my door, it's no conscience, it's the Holy Spirit. It's telling me, Sean, You're not doing right now. You need to change. That bears witness. Praise the Lord. Now again, the point of this is not to question whether we're saved or not. The point of this is it's a seal. We know we are. When the Holy Spirit is there convicting us. Holy Spirit is there doing the work in our lives. And He is leading us and guiding us into truth. That's the work of the Spirit. Okay? So identifies, it proves it, and confirms it. But it also protects. It also protects us that we're sealed. Ephesians chapter 4, go back a couple more chapters. Ephesians 4 talks more about this sealing. So there was a seal put on that identifies, it proves, it confirms, but also eternally secures me. And I say eternally, it protects me. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't say no to Him whereby you are sealed unto when? The day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is given to us until the day of redemption, we're with the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, it's eternal. It's eternally secure. He's keeping us. As one person put salvation this way, anybody doubts whether they can lose their salvation, I want to tell you, the Scriptures tell us that the Father, that no man is able to pluck thee out of the Father's hand. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ, we're in His hand. And He tells us, thirdly, if you want to put it this way, that we're wrapped up in the seal of the Holy Spirit, eternally protected. There's no way we can get out until the day of redemption. And it doesn't mean then we get out. We're there. But He seals us. He protects us. What a blessing it is to identify ourselves and say, you know what, I don't like it when I'm convicted of things and the Holy Spirit knocks on my heart's door and says, Sean, you're off now. You're not doing right. He uses the Word of God to do that. We've talked about that. Sean, you're wrong. You need to get on the right path. But I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for it. Can you imagine if He would just let us go and destroy ourselves? Christian, I want to tell you, you're here today and the Holy Spirit is there and you hate the Holy Spirit because He continues to convict you of things and you just wish you could get rid of it and you think that you're just going to let yourself get calluses and calluses. I'm going to tell you what, you can do that and you're going to be miserable doing it. You're going to be miserable doing it. Because He's going to do a number. He's going to do His work. He's going to convict you. He wants to show you. But folks, as Christians, we ought to be so thankful for that because He's keeping us from destruction. See, destruction is the truth. It's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is given there to keep you from that. In fact, I want to tell you something. That's a testimony of the truth right there. It's going to happen. Destruction is going to happen. God wouldn't have given us the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't have given us the Holy Spirit if there was going to be no destruction. Does that make sense? Why would we need to have protection if there's no danger? But He has given the Holy Spirit to us for that seal, for that identification, and to protect us. He's keeping us. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who has sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And we can go right on to the next one. I love the identification, though. You can identify the reality. And I would say that that's a very, very clear indication, you know, of a person's salvation. That's not for us to go around and do. But I say this, when a person's saved, they're convicted of sin. They're convicted of sin. They're convicted. The Holy Spirit is living inside of them and showing them, and they're seeing, oh, I need to get right. I need to get back on the right path. We're not talking about a conscience. By the way, the world, when they're convicted of certain things, it's not because of sin. It's because of wrong motives. It's because they're trying to accomplish something for themselves. That's probably for another time. But there's a difference there in the Holy Spirit's work rather than just conscience and wanting to protect self and not wanting to get in trouble. Okay, that's a worldly perspective. That's what happens with them. And we praise the Lord for the identification of reality. All right, praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. We need to move on. The insurer. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. You were just in 1:13, but in verse 14. So if you were in chapter 4, go back. In 2 Corinthians, he alluded to this earnest. And we go back and see. So he's still talking about the Holy Spirit, which was given to us as a seal, as that signet, okay, you're saved, but also which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's not just showing us who we are, it's kind of like a down payment of something that's going to come in full later. Okay, something would be given of what's going to come. One of the things that my family does, you know, seven of us, we can't afford to just go to the grocery store and buy all the things on regular, you know, sometimes we need to buy in bulk or whatever. Sometimes my wife will go to the store and she'll get some bulk things. She'll come and the day that she goes and gets these bulk things is kind of a fun day for the kids because she comes home and she has big batches of this and big batches of that and big batches of this. And a lot of times what will happen is the kids will be running around, you know, doing this and she gives handfuls of this. You know, you get to try it because you got a big batch. You're not thinking about running out at that point in time. So you get a big, oh, let me try that. And they like it because you got a big old batch of this and you get a spoonful of this, you know, they're going to take this, you get one sample of this, you eat it. And what it does, what's Melissa doing when she gives that out? Try this. Oh, well, that's really good. Yeah, look at that. There's more to come. You see, it's a taste of what's going to come. It's exciting because you get to taste it, but there's a whole lot more to that. You're going to wake up to breakfast, you know, mornings later, and you're going to be able to have more of this. You know, in some cases, they don't like it, and that's not a good thing, but in this case, it's supposed to be a good thing. All right? So there's the earnest. There's the expectation. Here it is. Here's a little bit, and look at what's going to come. Folks, can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is there to bear witness inside to show you of blessings that are going to come later. The Holy Spirit is, you know, He's living right here. He's living right inside us. He's going to come by our side. And one day there's going to be redemption of our spirits, of our souls, and we're going to go. And it's showing us what's going to come later. It's like, I can look forward to this until the day of redemption. You know, at the day of redemption, I'm going to have it all. The taste of what's to come. We praise the Lord for the work of the Holy Spirit. He is our sealer, our protector, our identifier, our proof of reality, of who we are. He is our earnest. He is our down payment. He is our insurer of what's to come. He, thirdly, is our gifter. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. We're going to look at verse 4 and verse 11. Again, another place to turn. He's our gifter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the passage talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that He gives to us. Verse 4 talks about these gifts. Now there are diversities of gifts, so there's different gifts, but the same Spirit. What He's saying here, the same Spirit that gave those gifts. Drop down to verse 11 and it says it a little bit more specifically. But all these gifts worketh one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Who's the giver of these gifts that divides up to every person? We've got the Holy Spirit that is a giver of gifts. I praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit because, I mean, you think about this. Jesus left, he gave Himself, He gave His Word, He gave the church, but He gave every person, He gave the church, the Holy Spirit, not only to seal us and protect us, He gave us the Holy Spirit to ensure us of things to come, He gave us the Holy Spirit to gift us with things so that we can edify and build up the body of Christ. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit gave us everything that we need. He gave us what it takes. Some of you are sitting here in the auditorium today and you say, I didn't get any gifts. I don't have anything. What good am I to this church? I don't have anything to offer. That's to deny the gifting of the Holy Spirit. When a person gets saved, He gives you a gift. He gives you a gift. He gives you something, a motivation to work in the church, to do that work. There are all kinds of different giftings that are out here. There's different personalities out here. There are some that the Holy Spirit has given certain gifts to do work behind scenes. And let me put it this way. There's been a lot of preaching. There's been a lot of teaching. There's been a lot of tests that you can take about the gifts. You know, and the gifts of what gift do you have? And I'll tell you, you got to be careful with all the gift stuff that are out there because they can lead you astray. They can do this. And, you know, have you ever taken one of those tests where you answer like 100 things? You go through, do you do this? Do you do this? You know, how do you act this way? Whatever. They can maybe help a little bit, but you need to be careful because in the end it says this is who you are. Well, first of all, that does a couple things. First of all, it might lead you astray. Second of all, a lot of times what people do is they'll read those things, they'll conclude what they are, and they exclude everything else. Guess what? If I don't have the gift of giving, that doesn't mean that I shouldn't give. So we got to be very careful because I believe all the gifts we might not naturally are motivated to do or have, but I tell you, we do them all. So we not get sidetracked. But let's go back. I just wanted to put that little disclaimer in there. But the Holy Spirit has given to us gifts. He's divided them up so that the body can be the most useful. And I believe a simple way to think about it is this. Everybody in this building is motivated just a little bit differently on how they help. Some are very minded to give. And they're very motivated to do that. Some are very motivated to get a lot of work done. You give them a little bit of time in here, and they're a gopher. They're busy. They're going to do it. They don't care if they ever get up in front of anybody else, but they want to get a lot done. There are others that are just very merciful. You don't see them working really hard and doing a lot of this, but they're always there for that person that's struggling, and they're just motivated with mercy. There's others that are motivated, you know, because they want to lead and not so much, and I'm not talking about this negatively, but they just want to be there to help organize people to do certain things. And we could study some of the gifts and look at some of the disciples and how they demonstrate a lot of these gifts. Maybe sometime we will. I'm always hesitant because there's a lot we don't know. But either way, I'm telling you this. It's ways, it's different motivations that people love to jump in and do it. And I think we need to be paying attention. If anybody doesn't know their spiritual gift, the point is not to go do 100 online tests to figure it out. I would say get serving in the church, doing everything you can, and God's going to start highlighting some things that you really are motivated to do and enjoy. And I would say, hey, that's where we're starting to get a little bit closer to what's being done. We're not talking about talents. We're not talking about abilities. We're talking about, in fact, inabilities, but God gives us motivations to try to help people out, and it's through some of the gifts that God gives in Romans and Ephesians and the, you know, 1 Corinthians, there are different places that he puts them in there. How are we motivated to serve? These all come from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has given to us this so that our church can be complete. He gives us that. That's God, that comes from the Holy Spirit. And without these gifts, then our church would be incomplete. Can you imagine if we were all administrators? Can you imagine if we were all givers? Can you imagine if we were all, and we could go through the list of things. But God has given us the Holy Spirit to give and distribute things out. The purpose, you know, the purpose of these gifts to edify the body of Christ. And we praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. So he's the sealer, he's the insurer, he's the gifter. I thought I was going to be able to go through it, but then I just got to the biggest point. He's the revealer and guide to truth. There's absolutely no way I can do that, okay? And there's still more after that, so I think we're going to have to stop there with that. We have to, because we're out of time. I think we could, don't have to, but we're going to. But there's something for us. We don't have to have the complete, we don't have to complete everything of the Holy Spirit. God has given to us. He has adequately given to us as we go through. I mean, it's neat that Jesus, there's the roadmap. There's the truth of everything. There's the plan. He's given us his word to even further to look into it and to know how to go and what to do when we look at it. He's given us the church and the blessings of the church to help us to go through it and to make our way through life. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to be that personal guide through it. Protection, identification, proof, expectation of more to come. You've got the Holy Spirit inside you. There's more to come. God's going to give you the big batch. It's coming. You can partake later. He's given to us the Holy Spirit to be the giver of gifts so that the body is edified. A couple more. He's given us to be the person and the revealer of truth, and this is the biggest one, truth. Jesus is the truth, and he's come to shine the light on that truth. And we'll have to talk a whole lot more about that on next Sunday morning. So come next Sunday morning, we're going to talk about the revealer of truth. And I'll tell you what, it has a lot to do, this point has a lot to do with the world that we live in today. We need the Holy Spirit to show us truth. Jesus is the truth. We need the Holy Spirit to shine the light on Jesus. And the Holy Spirit does that. And by the way, this is something that the Holy Spirit gives us when we get saved. We are at an advantage over the rest of the world with truth because we have the Holy Spirit right here. The presence of the Holy Spirit is there, but we have the Holy Spirit with us. I don't know how the Word of God and the Holy Spirit used this morning, but I trust that it's been a blessing to you. As we see, we're complete in him. We are complete. He's given us everything that we need. And the people in your life that you don't think that have everything, if they're saved, they've got everything. And we just need to pray for them that they would listen, because they've got it all. They've got it all. But they need to see it. Lord, help us. Lord, help us today. Thank you so much for the Holy Spirit and how he's given to us so much. Pray that it would be a blessing to these folks, even as we continue on with it next week, Lord, that you would just show us your truth that the Holy Spirit gives. Lord, what a blessing that we have today. I pray that you would work on our hearts. And Lord, we want to thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again, God.